Hi, my name's Kate Gregory. I'm doing a series of screencasts on building awesome Windows 7 applications. In this one, I'm discussing trigger-started services. That's a new capability in Windows 7 that can save you CPU cycles and battery life, but gives your user a better response than the way you're probably writing services today. It's a win-win. Watch and see how simple it is to do. You're welcome to email me, check my blog, or follow me on Twitter. If you send me an email, put something in the subject line like trigger started services, so I'll know that it's because of this screencast. Windows 7 looks different than older versions of Windows, and I like how it looks. It's fun and it makes me productive. People often aren't aware of how much is going on behind the scenes, under the covers, that's not visual, that's really very different. Probably the most important one is really the death of polling. Checking to see if something's happened or not yet is a huge waste of CPU time, of battery life, and makes the machine less responsive than it otherwise would be. Windows 7 can notify your applications about all kinds of things like the user coming on and off battery or on and off the network, and specifically what we're going to talk about in this screencast, triggering a service to start running when something happens, or to stop running when something happens, which is a lot better than having a service that runs all the time checking to see if something's happened recently or not. Now, Windows 7 is a considerate and polite operating system. Restart and recovery is a good example of that, but there are plenty of other ways that your app can sort of tap into the way that people are now expecting their computer to behave to them, and stopping polling is a big, big part of that. Now, the reason that trigger-started services haven't had a lot of uptake is that they've been very difficult to do. In fact, until now, really the only way to do them was to be willing to write C++ code or to write an installer that ran some specific commands against the service control system. Now, with these Windows 7 recipes, you can use trigger-started services for managed code with great simplicity. The Windows 7 recipes are samples that will be on Code Gallery. You can count on being able to get to them from the CodePack page. So if you search for Windows API CodePack on code.msdn.com, there should be links there real soon that will point you to these recipes. Most of them take a dependency on the CodePack. Interestingly, the Trigger Started Services one does not. What they have in common is that you're writing managed code, you're writing VB or C#, and you want to be able to use Windows 7 features. The recipes make that simpler than it otherwise would be. Let's go back to the specific issue of trigger-started services. If you think about the experience of starting your machine, turning your machine on for the first time each day, you know that it can be really quite slow. There's a whole pile of stuff that needs to get started when you turn your machine on. And included in that whole pile of stuff are literally dozens of services. If you go to your services window and take a look, you probably won't recognize most of them. And they all feel the need to start when you turn the computer on, right when you most want performance. I turn my machine on from cold off. I want to bring up Outlook. I want to bring up Visual Studio. I want to bring up a to-do list, some kind of work item tracking. There's tons of different applications that I would like to launch. But my machine's being really non-responsive because it's busy start, whole kinds of services. Earlier versions of Windows presented something called delayed start, so you could say, oh, my service is automatic, it has to start as soon as the machine is turned on, but I'm prepared to wait 5 minutes or 10 minutes or some small amount of time. People really didn't pick up on that. Developers aren't terribly altruistic, they don't usually hold their hand up and say, I'll wait. And also it made other applications harder to write that might depend on the service. They need to check to see if it's running, that kind of thing. So delayed start asked you to be noble and to make a sacrifice. Trigger started services say this is a win-win. As a developer, I'm going to make it easier for you to write your code because you're not going to have to write a lot of loops and check to see if you've already done this. You can just be triggered, do what you need to do, and stop. That's easier to write than a loop. The application will respond quicker when things happen, so the users are going to like it, and the application, the service, isn't going to waste any CPU cycles or battery checking to see if things have happened or not. Doesn't need to check. It'll be told when something happens. So the machine's going to get zippier, you're going to get instant response to events that need to be responded to rather than waiting for wake-up time. But as a developer, I'm going to make that easier for you than the old-school, not-so-good way. So, what's not to love, right? Are you in? Okay. What makes it feasible is this recipe has a trigger start class, and you can just call some methods, set some properties, and you can arrange for your service to be a trigger started service. It's probably a good idea at this point to tell you what the services can respond to. There's some sysadminy things. Your machine joins a domain, your machine leaves a domain, a port opens, a port closes, group policies change, where you might need to reconfigure something or notify a user of a potential issue with some application. But then we get into things that I think are a little more everyday, like I come on the network, I get an IP address, you know, because the wireless kicked in. Or I come off the network, maybe because my machine and I leave the building. Through event tracing for Windows, you can actually trigger on anything in the universe you want. Okay, your application can raise an ETW custom event because a purchase order has arrived, or someone submitted an expense account, or a new item is in the database. That's obviously highly line of business oriented and specific. It's difficult to demo something like that. So I'm going to use for my demo that a USB device, like a flash drive, is plugged into the machine. And there's actually one trigger for a device being put in and another one for it being removed. For our demo, let's take the example of a USB storage device and think about when you take pictures on your camera. You then either plug a cable into your camera that makes it look like a USB drive, or maybe you take the memory chip out of your camera and put it into a jump drive and put that into your computer. Why did you put this connection between your camera and the computer? Almost always, it's to copy the pictures somewhere. So the service that we've invented says, oh look, a USB device. I'm going to look for a known folder name on this particular USB device. It depends on the brand of your camera exactly what the folder structure is. And I'm going to copy all the files I find in that folder onto the hard drive of this machine. Again, in some specified location. Now, a real good version of this service would probably use a config file for these magic strings. I'm just going to hard code them, as you'll see shortly. So if you wrote this service the old school way, you would go to sleep and you'd wake up every certain amount of time, which again would probably be in a config file. It might be every minute, it might be every 10 minutes, it might be every hour. And you'd look and see if there were any USB drives, and if there were, you'd do the copy. So one obvious disadvantage to this is that if you have it configured to look every hour, you plug your USB drive into the machine and you might have to wait 59 minutes until the service happened to wake up and say, oh, look, a USB drive, and copy your files for you. But if you went into the config file and cranked that down to every minute, your machine might be sluggish because of this constant checking, especially if you wrote it in a very kind of mindless way and say, look, if there's anything there, copy it. So every minute you're copying the entire copy of this drive over and over and over again, that's definitely going to slow your machine down and use up your battery. Oh, I'll be smarter than that. I won't copy everything every time. I'll have a way of keeping track of whether I copied these files or not. Well, either you're going to be cluttering things up with little signal timestampy files, or you're going to miss copying something new because while you were asleep, they took it out and put it back in with another file that you didn't notice sometimes and do double copies other times. It's just kind of awkward. So when we switch it to a trigger-started approach, we say, look, the operating system will start the service when the drive is plugged in. The service will start, copy all the files, and be done with it. And that drive can stay plugged in for 6 hours. We're not going to look at it again. We're only triggered on that moment that it was plugged in. But if you take it out and plug it in again, we'll look at it again and we'll copy everything again. So the user's going to get an instant response. The minute the drive's plugged in, the service is going to run. But the rest of the time, you're not going to be wasting anything. And that's as simple as this demo is. So I have this project open in Visual Studio 2010, and this is the C# sample. There is also a VB sample in the recipe if that's what you prefer, but I'm going to show you the C# code. And one interesting thing to see is that all of the work here is in this onStart method. We don't call out to some separate do work. We just run all of onStart right here in place. And there's a reason for that, which has to do with the way that I'm triggering. Services, of course, don't have any UI. They don't really have any way to talk to us. So I'm put some event log messages here in the onStart, just saying that we started. And here are our hard-coded strings. We have two copy on the USB drive and from USB on my machine. I have from USB open, and it doesn't have anything in it at the moment. And we build out the directory name. Notice we're using things like path.combine and various methods of directory and directory info. You don't want to try to reinvent and roll this wheel yourself. Excellent set of best practices here, especially using path.combine. So all we're really going to do is iterate through all the drives that are removable and ready and figure out the full paths of what we want. If the local destination directory doesn't exist, we'll create it. If the monitor directory exists, we're going to go through it and copy all of its files to the destination directory. And then we fall out of onStart because we're done. And all onStop does is write another event to the event log. Now, I'll show you in a moment how the installer arranges for this to be a trigger-started service, but first I want you to see it in action. So let's go over to the services and just refresh to confirm that there's no service with this name installed. What I have here is a Visual Studio command prompt, to start Visual Studio 2010 tools, Visual Studio command prompt, that I have run as administrator, so it's elevated. And you can see both those pieces of information up here in the title bar. When you want to install services, obviously you need to have an elevated command prompt. So I'll use install util and just press tab. I'm in the debug folder of this project. So when I press tab, it fills in all of the file names in that folder. And it's just a lucky coincidence that cs-trigger-service.exe is the first. If it wasn't, I'd just hit tab till I got around to it. So the install runs and commits, and it's all successful, which is great. So go over here to services and refresh it. And now you see here CSUSB trigger started service. And it's set up for manual, so it doesn't start when the machine starts. But in fact, it has these triggers on it that this particular UI will not show to you. And there's a simple enough command that you can issue to the service control manager. So let's go here into the command prompt, SC query trigger info. And then you need to know the name of the service. And the name of this service is CSUSB trigger service. Because it has spaces in it, I have it in quotes. And I get all kinds of talk back. You may not yet know how to read this, but the information that's important is that there's a trigger to start it and there's a trigger to stop it. And specifically, it's going to start when a device arrives. And there's a GUID and a magic string here. And it's going to stop when a device arrives. And there's a GUID and a magic string here. And at first you're like, what? It's going to start and stop? But that's right. That's what it's going to do. It's going to start. It's going to run all of onStart, which actually does all of the work. And then once it's finished starting, it can stop. And that way, it's over and done with. It's done the copy, and we're finished. So I'm going to plug the USB drive in now. And let's get ourselves up near the C's so we have a chance of seeing our service. Sometimes if I refresh while I've got the drive plugged in, you'll briefly see this as started. Other times you won't. By the time the dialog comes up that says, ooh, you stuck a USB drive in, what do you want to do? It's all over. So let's plug it in now and watch what happens. There, it does say starting. Excellent. And we'll dismiss the autoplay, and if we refresh this, it's over. It's no longer starting. It's finished what it needed to do. If I take a look in From USB, hey, there's a folder here now, and it's got pictures on it, and they are the pictures that were on the drive. As well, if I look in the event viewer, I'll see these messages from, these are old, let's refresh. I'll see these messages from the service. And there are four of them because my own code wrote out the C# USB trigger start service was started. You see that here. And then the base class that we're using also does some event logging. And similarly, when we're done, I write out that it was stopped. That's really all that happens in onStop. So those are where those messages came from. So the service started, copied all the files, stopped. Just as simple as that, because of this trigger that's in place. Now, how did the trigger get in place? That's in our installer. You get an installer generated for you when you create a service in Visual Studio 2010, and you may recognize some of this code where you're setting up your account and your start mode and the like. This part's all vanilla. Where things get kind of interesting is that we set up this event handler for the after install events. This is key. The trigger has to be set on an installed service. So all we're passing in is this function name of ours, USB service installer after install. And let's take a look at that function. We're using a class called TriggerStart, which is in this assembly here, Win7 TriggerStart recipe that we have a reference to. And like most good Windows 7 code, the version checking is in the library you want to use. So ask TriggerStarting if you have it. Assuming that you do, we then create this object called a TriggerStart, which just takes the service name. And then we have some particular parameters that we need to set up. If you're doing a service that's triggered by a firewall port opening, you'd need to say what port. If you were doing a service that was triggered by joining or leaving a domain, you'd use a domain trigger and so on. In fact, if we go in here to this assembly and take a look under the namespace Win7 trigger start recipe, you can see we have domain event trigger, firewall event, group policy trigger, and the device arrival interface trigger that we're using here. And they take different parameters depending on what kind of trigger it is. So the device interface arrival trigger takes this GUID and this device name. Now, this GUID and this device name are kind of magic strings. You can look them up on MSDN. You can also get a little bit of information on your own machine. If you go in here to the properties of this drive, go on the hardware tab, hit the properties button, and then go into details, drop down here and choose hardware IDs. I know that's the sort of thing that nobody would spontaneously do. You can see the magic strings that this particular USB drive will answer to. And most of them have to do with its brand name. It's a Kingston drive. If you have a drive from someone else, it obviously won't answer to any of these Kingston names. But what you'll see over and over on a variety of different, you know, pick up all the drives that are on your machine and try this, is this USB store / gen disk, USB storage generic disk. Pretty much all of them respond to that. If you happen to find yourself in possession of one that doesn't, then you would have to change the code to use a different device name. Okay, that's where the device name is being set here. And you can find this GUID by just searching on MSDN for Trigger Started Services and get a list of the GUIDs for the different events that you can react to. And this is the event for device interface arrival of a USB drive, as opposed to other kinds of device interface arrivals. So you add two triggers here, a device interface arrival trigger that takes an action of start and another one that takes an action of stop. Okay, and they both use that GUID and device name. Having added the two triggers, we go commit changes to service, and that's how we ended up with this situation here where those two triggers are in place. Once the triggers are in place, you put in the drive, the service starts. It runs all of onStart, which means that it copies all of those files, and then it stops. That's an easier service to write than something that loops. It's certainly an easier service to write than something that loops, checks to see if it ran already, does it need to do it again, blah, blah. And it's a much less wasteful service than one that's going to copy the same files over and over again. It's a much more responsive service than one that's going to sleep for 20 minutes or half an hour or an hour, so it takes that long to notice that a drive's been put in. Just putting the code here quickly so that you can get a hold of it. This is the line of code to add the event handler for the after install event. And this is setting up that after install event, the trigger start object, the GUID, the device name, and adding, for the sake of fitting on the slide, I'm only going to show you the line to add for the service start action. It was just the same line with service stop for the other one. And then, of course, important to commit the changes to the service. You know, if you have a service in your life that sleeps, wakes, think about converting it to a trigger started service. You'll get a more responsive machine because you won't be wasting cycles polling. And at the same time, your service will be more responsive to whatever you're trying to react to. Whether it's coming on and off the network, coming on and off a domain, plugging devices in, or anything at all because you can raise those custom ETW events, your service can be triggered. It's a win for everyone. Use the recipe to make it simple, and you can take care of this in a couple hours, and just boom, instant improvement. Give it a whirl.